You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405 on this beautiful day in Southern California. We have a great conversation ahead of us with Joe Montag, who's the president of Timios, Inc. He's in Westlake Village, California at the moment. So, Joe, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405.
Hey, Will, thanks so much for having me.
You get to drive on the 405 from time to time, right?
Oh, yeah, that's always a joy.
Right. So tell us a little bit about Timios and what Timios is doing with real estate transactions.
Sure, yeah, thanks. So Timios, for starters, I guess I should start with our name. You know, it basically means honest in Greek. And so what we're trying to do is bring some transparency to the consumers on real estate transactions. And, you know, it seems kind of like a no-brainer, but the strange thing about title and escrow, when you think of it from a real estate perspective, is the people that actually pay those bills rarely choose or even know their title and escrow company. And so, yeah, what we're trying to do is educate the consumers and provide them tools so they can control their own transactions.
Well, help me understand that a little bit more. I mean, I've bought several properties. I see a lot of papers moving back and forth online. Well, since I use Loan Depot, I see a significant improvement in online managing mortgage, and then I get this big package of things to sign.
Right.
So it does see. I mean, I don't really see a whole lot of what's going on. How does your process help a home buyer?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Loan Depot is a great example of a lender using technology to help the home buyer. What we do is we're going to expose that transaction to the buyer, the seller, the real estate agents, the lender, even the notary, and to some extent, any of the vendors required to get the property closed. And what they're going to see on our site is going to be limited to their role in the transaction. So we're able to expose everything in real time, and we're not worried about who's allowed to see which documents, because we've already segregated that in our digital file. And so it could be something as simple as when am I going to close? When is my loan going to fund? The consumer can log into our app and see a timeline and see what we're waiting on, right? Where is their file in regards to underwriting? Are they approved? You know, how much were they approved for? They could also see the condition of their title. You know, many people don't even look at the title report or understand what it is that they're getting when they receive an owner's title policy. And so we could help walk them through that and expose any potential issues, and as well as any of the cures that we obtain throughout the transaction. We make sure that they can see those, understand what they are, and maybe they need to go back to those at some time in the future. Maybe they bought a house and now they're doing a refinance. We've stored all that information for them and it's still available.
So help me to understand, who makes the decision to work with you? Is it the realtor? Is it the seller, the buyer, the mortgage company?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kidding, but it really, really does vary, right? So when you're looking at a refinance transaction today, 99% of the time, the lender is going to choose the title and escrow company. When you look at a purchase transaction, if it's not a for sale by owner, almost 100% of the time, the realtor is choosing the title and escrow company. And what we're trying to make people aware of is that the idea of quote unquote closing costs, they're not set in stone. And you should understand what those costs are. And you should be able to shop around for a company that provides the services you want as the consumer, as opposed to being forced to use the company that maybe is approved by the realty firm or approved by the lender. And so that's what we're trying to get the word out about. And it's kind of hard to get it out because, you know, a lot of people, they only buy one or two houses in their lifetime. And so they don't think about, you know, title or escrow as something they really need to know about. And they rely on experts, you know, whether they are real experts or quote unquote experts, to give them guidance on who to use and what they need. And, you know, our theory is, you know, most people that are in a position to buy a home are probably smart enough to maneuver their way through it as long as they're provided the information and, you know, the transparency to see what's going on with the transaction.
Well, so you are a title and escrow company. Is that what you are?
Correct.
And you have this additional piece of software as a value add for customers who use you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something that's free, you know, anytime you use our services, just like if you, you know, if you look at our website, we have a closing cost calculator that's completely free and guaranteed. You know, we want to get the information into the hands of the consumers, you know, one, to kind of eliminate, you know, some of the price gouging and some of the negative connotation around title and escrow. You know, again, just to make everything transparent for the consumer. But as a title and escrow company, we also feel like we're one of the only industries that can facilitate this change, because by definition, we're the neutral third party. We're not tied to any one side of the transaction.
Right. Well, so if I were buying a home in Laguna Beach, could I tell my real estate agent I wanted to use you?
Absolutely. But having said that, generally in Laguna Beach, on your contract, the seller is going to choose title and escrow.
Oh.
And that's generally the seller's real estate agent that really chooses title and escrow.
Yeah.
And so everything's negotiable when it comes down to a contract.
Uh-huh.
But the custom is for the seller to choose, because the seller's usually paying for that owner's title policy.
Mm. I see.
Now, if we went up north to San Francisco, now the custom is for the buyer to choose.
Oh.
And again, it's all negotiable in the contract, but you know, there's just standard practices. And what we find in title and escrow, like a lot of industries, you know, things go the way they go because that's the way they always have.
Yes. All right. So the reason that someone would want to specify using your title and escrow services, one reason, well, I get in the sense that there may be a couple of reasons. One might be lower fees. Is that possible?
Absolutely. You know, the it's not the only reason, but what we've done by being a title company and an escrow company is we don't have to charge exorbitant fees for each side. So when you think about that home in Laguna Beach, you know, whether you realize it or not, you probably had an escrow company and a title company, and they were two distinct companies. And the escrow companies in California are usually what they call independents. And so they charge their fees based on the loan amount or the purchase price. Because we're a title company and so much of our cost is covered by the title premium, which is set by the underwriters in the state, we can charge a flat escrow fee that basically just covers our costs. And so, you know, what we're looking at is a flat $575 escrow fee per buyer, per seller, all in, nothing else. And so, right, you know, when you look at a home in Laguna Beach, you could be paying as much as $3,000 to $3,500, just one side of the escrow.
All right. So that would be one reason to negotiate to use you. Now, you're in Westlake Village, Are you in a position to service Laguna Beach or any place else in Southern California?
Yeah, absolutely. We're also pushing our technology and the idea that, especially with what we've seen with COVID, you know, a lot of people don't want someone to come meet them in their home, and they don't want to travel to a real estate office to sign documents. So we're able to facilitate online remote signings. We're also able to facilitate, to some extent, remote closings, to where the buyer and the seller never need to sit down at the same table. That being said, there are some people that prefer that, and we have retail offices throughout the state of California that we've been opening every 2 to 3 months. We're actually about to open our 15th office, and that's in Irvine, California.
So one way that a buyer or a seller would access your service would be simply to specify, we're going to use you. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. And another way be that the real estate agent said, this is who I want to use?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we get the majority of our orders from the real estate agents today. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying to the consumers is come onto our site to be informed, right? If you think of it from a car sales perspective, we just want to put the sticker on the window so that, you know, you understand what you're paying for and if it's a fair price or not.
So you're saying that typically a buyer or a seller could save a couple of $1,000 potentially by using your services?
Correct. Yeah. Especially in states like California where, pardon the pun, I guess, but it's the wild, wild west. Mm-hmm. You have independent companies that, the cost varies greatly. And when you look at what we are as a title agency, as opposed to a title underwriter, we're able to shop those rates with all the different underwriters that are out there. And we're not tied to one. We're just able to show you what's the best product at the best price for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you would get the most business by speaking with some real estate agencies. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's the way we go about it today.
We might talk about some of the agencies that work with me as an EOS implementer and moving into their, helping them to get to the next level of their business.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Now, talk a little bit about the growth of your company. Now, this is not Timios, is it? The company is not Timios.
The company is Timios, yes.
The Timios is the escrow and title company?
Correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So how long has Timios been in business?
So we incorporated August 7th, 2008, right?
Okay.
Right in the middle of the mortgage meltdown, we decided to start a title company.
that's brilliant.
Yeah. That's not what our families were thinking, a few months down the road. But so we started in 2008, and we've really tried to grow the business organically. And so we went out and got licensed in a few states. As we brought in orders, we added licensing. Today, we sit in 44 states plus DC. We have big operating centers in Plano, Texas, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then here in Westlake Village, California. And then on top of that, we've been adding retail offices over the last few years to really focus on individual regions and offer the purchase services, maybe in some areas that might be underserved. For example, we have a big presence up near Paradise, where the terrible fires were, but we have offices in like cities like Orland, California, or Willows, California. And, we find that one, we're kind of the only game in town, but two, the community really appreciates us being there and offering these types of services because they really didn't have any other options except to, go online and look for their you know, ABC title company, and there was no local presence.
Now, would an individual buyer or seller who's using a real estate agent, would they ever be in touch with you, or does that generally come through the real estate agent?
So at some point they would be in touch with us. You know, it really depends on the agent, how they like to manage, you know, their transaction. Mm-hmm. But at some point we do need to speak with buyer and seller. There needs to be a meeting of the minds. We need to get escrow instructions signed. And, you know, depending on the condition of title, you know, we may need to explain things to the buyer to, you know, maybe there's exceptions to the policy that they're going to have to accept or cure. And then also with the seller, you know, we're going to need to get personal information so that we can clear up any clouds that could be on the title.
Okay. So tell us about the growth from 2008 forward. What have been some of the successes, some of the obstacles, the hurdles that you had to jump, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Our founder founded the company back, like I said, in 2008. I have worked with Trevor Stauffer, the founder of Temios, going back 20 plus years. We started working together at a title company called Bridgeband Title. We went from that company to a company called Lenders First Choice, where we specialize in refinance transactions, centrally processing national business. And then we wanted to take it a step further and try to provide even more service to the lenders, to the consumers. And so we launched Temios. You know, our idea was that we would go to our former clients and say, hey, you know, we're back in business. Let's hit the ground running. What we found out quickly in 2008 is, as part of the mortgage meltdown, most of the larger banks decided to go away from title agents and work just directly with title underwriters. And so right away, we couldn't go to our Rolodex of clients and just turn them back on. They all said they would love to use us, but they just weren't allowed. And so we really had to start scratching our way little by little to become where we are today. You know, even the idea of getting licensed in California, where our headquarters sit and where we all live, it took us 6 years to get licensed as a title company in California. Wow. And, you know, just due to requirements around funding and around the balance sheet that, you know, we weren't prepared to, you know, to overcome these challenges. And so really it was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of fun building a company from scratch, but there was also some blood, sweat, and tears in the early years. You know, so today we sit at about 350 employees and we're on pace to do $100 million in sales. To say it was easy, it definitely wasn't.
So tell me, how did you overcome the regulations around financing issues?
Well, for instance, for California, we had to grow to a certain size. So when we finally got that large, we were able to get our licensing. And to do that, you know, we had to think outside the box. So, you know, imagine we're mostly a California company and we're going to you as a lender saying, hey, we just want to do your Pennsylvania transactions. So, you know, we started to get the Pennsylvanias, the Oklahomas, you know, some of the states that are a little harder to get title and escrow done in. And we built a name for ourselves on our service. And then we were able to add on underwriter partners, and we utilized those partners to help us grow into additional states and additional states with additional business. And, you know, we really built the company on the idea of processing national refinances. And fast forward to today, where we're finally able to offer, you know, better products, or not better products, but more products, right? We're able to offer the purchase solution, which we feel like that's where most of the changes can be made, centers around the purchase market. And, you know, we're excited to finally be at that point.
So your strategy for being licensed in California was to grow by doing most of your business in other states.
Well, it wasn't our strategy, but it's what we had to do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, we the idea was to incorporate and kind of lean on what we had done in the past, but you know, the world was rapidly changing around us. So we had to adapt.
So did you have to have retail locations in those states to do that? Or could you do that mostly remotely? That would be pretty advanced in 2008 to 2015, right?
Exactly. But we did actually do it remote, and that was part of the thing that set us apart from the competition is, you know, we could be doing real estate closings at 8 o'clock at night or sometimes even at midnight. But, you know, we would just run around the clock trying to provide better solutions to lenders in order to close their loans quicker. So they weren't dealing with, you know, rate lock extensions or fallout. At the same time, we launched the first and maybe the only instant closing cost calculator that was completely free and completely guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And why that was important is because at that time, lenders were dealing with a lot of tolerance cures. And the idea there is that if they quote a fee and it comes in higher, the lender needs to pay that difference. Mm. And so what they were doing, one of two things: they were either paying a lot of tolerance cures or they were overestimating the fees, which would scare away the borrower.
And what did you do to solve that?
Well, we came up with a pricing engine that, based off the zip code and the transaction type, could give you instant guaranteed fees, inclusive of the recording fee at the county level and any recording taxes.
Oh, so you pulled in data and began to put that together. That's sort of an artificial intelligence move, right?
It is. And, you know, I think what we did, you know, a little bit different is we actually went and got the live data from each of the counties across the country. So as opposed to relying on a table or averages, we were actually pulling real data, and we still are today.
That's a valuable service that you provide is to get a guaranteed rate for your services.
Absolutely. And from the lender side, you know, it's invaluable. You see lenders today that pay for those services. You know, they're paying, you know, there's a company called Title Hound, and all it does is aggregate title fees, you know, or a company like Closing Corp, where they just aggregate fees and, you know, give those to the lender so they don't have tolerance cures. And, you know, they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for these services. Now ours is free, but the only catch is, in order to get that guarantee, if our fees are ever off, we're happy to write that check, but you have to close the transaction with us.
Well, that's nice. Why would companies not work with you?
Size has been an issue since we started the company. I feel like now we are, you know, large enough, and especially with, you know, the recent merger with Ideanomics as our parent company, we're definitely large enough now from a balance sheet perspective. But I think when you look at lenders, they're, you know, even though it's all the way back in 2008, there's still a lot of heartburn around that meltdown. You know, when title agencies went out of business and they were stuck looking for documents and trying to find, you know, find funds and recordings and whatnot, you know, so there's still that fear. When you look at realtors, they come down to the big name, right? When you look at the Fidelity Title, you know, they could say they've been in business for over 200 years. You know, Timios isn't that. But we do have the expertise. We have, you know, if you combine all of our management team together, we have hundreds of years of experience, but we just don't like to do things the same old way just because that's the way it was done.
Do a little bit of looking out in the future. You must pay attention to the trends, real estate trends. What do you see coming up in the next 3 to 5 years in real estate?
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting time. And I say that because, you know, we've seen really good rate environments. I mean, maybe not like today. I mean, if you ever told me, you know, I could refi my house at 1.8%, I mean, that's a little bit crazy. But what's different, you know, now than some rate markets in the past is there's also a lot of equity. You know, you're not seeing that disparity where the rates are down and the prices are down. The rates are down and the prices are still up, and people still have equity in their homes. You know, I think what we're going to see is, you know, a huge influx of home purchasing over the next few years as people get access to equity that's, you know, in their homes or their parents' homes. You know, we're also seeing some of the downsizing of seniors, you know, as they get into reverse mortgages or, you know, even using like a reverse mortgage for purchase. And so I think we're going to see, you know, some of that lead to more purchase transactions. I think on the refinance side, you know, we're going to see people start to move from shopping rates to shopping needs. And, you know, that brings, you know, different challenges with it. And, you know, one of the, you know, the bad things about that type of transaction is I think we're also going to see, you know, default and real estate owned come back into the picture, which, you know, is bad from the sense that, you know, people sometimes lose their property, but it also, you know, stimulates the purchase market again, because, you know, now people can go out and start buying investment homes. So I think we'll see, you know, kind of all of that play out over the next few years. And then, you know, I also think we'll see, you know, some type of government program, you know, similar to the HARP and HAMP loans, you know, we saw around 15 and 16.
Well, tell us what that might do for the economy.
Well, you know, what it does is it enables the borrowers to use some of that equity that they built up in order to stay in their homes. And, you know, that's going to be huge, because right now with, you know, with the pandemic and, you know, some of the forbearance and the moratoriums around, you know, evictions and foreclosure, you know, eventually that's going to go away and, you know, people are going to have to pay. And so the nice thing about this time around is, you know, like I mentioned, there's a lot of homes that still have equity. And so you'll be able to do some type of, you know, home modification of your loan, or, you know, some type of product where, you know, maybe if the government incents the banks to write down some of the principal or write down some of the interest rate, and we could keep people in their homes, I think that's how we avoid, you know, what we saw back in 08.
Right. Or take the payments and extend them at the end of the loan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. That's certainly important. I mean, apart from your business, I mean, you don't play anything with rent and rent forbearance and potential rent, the eviction tsunami that's inevitable, do you?
No, we don't. We're not in that market, but, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand, right? When you look at, you know, unfortunately, the people that aren't able to pay their rent and the evictions that are going to come, well, while they're not paying that rent, there's landlords that aren't able to pay their mortgages.
Right.
And so it's definitely the domino effect. But, you know, eventually anything we can do, you know, in my opinion, to keep people in their homes is going to help us avoid another collapse.
That's right. Well, it's that, how do you handle when you got renters who didn't have jobs for a year? You know, what do you do with all of that? And also, people have, you know, talked about, we're talking with restaurant owners a couple of weeks ago on the show, and we're talking about all the restaurants that closed the doors. And the question was, do we think that the lease rate is going to decline over the next couple of years? And the answer was no, because the mortgage holder is, I mean, you know, the lessor is still got to pay his mortgage. So that's not going to change.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's a mess. It's a little bit scary, but, you know, I think where the solution lies, you know, not to make it too simple, but if we can enable that, you know, lessor to figure out a way to make those payments and keep that building, that's how we get the restaurateur back in.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I think you could take that out to the residential market as well. You know, whether they're investment homes or primary residents, you know, the idea is they have, you know, I say they, you know, I think the banks, but more importantly, the government needs to come up with a plan that shows a solution as opposed to just putting it off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of pain out there for both the people who are renting and also the people who are landlords.
Yeah, absolutely. But hopefully, you know, hopefully things get better soon. And, you know, as everybody gets back to work, you know, we start to come out of this.
So now you are, did I hear you're in 44 states?
Correct.
Around the country?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And you're just opening a retail store in Irvine.
Yeah. We're opening just down on Main Street, right off of MacArthur.
Tell me about your business development model. Does this mean that somebody in that retail store is going to be going out and building relationships with real estate agents and agencies?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, our salespeople will be boots on the ground, you know, going out and building relationships. You know, Irvine is kind of a unique location in the sense that there's so many lenders in that area that are already clients of Timios. And so some of that business will be processed in Irvine, but a lot of it will still be processed in Westlake Village, just because so much of what we do is, you know, digitized.
So have you developed a relationship with Loan Depot?
We do work with Loan Depot. You know, we'd love to work with them more, but we work with quite a few of their offices. And that's, you know, that's one of the companies we look to and, you know, kind of we watch what they're doing and, you know, we're trying to emulate what we see over there.
Yeah. I've done several refinances with them and it's not as good as on the IT side as Kaiser Permanente, but it's better than many, many other financing agents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the amount of paper and useless paper that we go through, it's mind-boggling.
Well, what would you like to say to primarily consumers, homeowners, and business owners? What would you like to say? What would you like them to do?
Well, I think, you know, what I'd like to say is, you know, buying your first home or, you know, even your second, it shouldn't be a stressful process. It should be a joyful process. You know, it's a huge accomplishment. And so I would encourage them to look at our website, whether or not they use us. You know, go on there, educate yourself, enable yourself, pull a quote, right? Even if you don't use us, print it out and, you know, hold the other company to the same standards.
Excellent. And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, where would they go?
So they can go to our website, which is www.timios.com. And, you know, my email address is on there as well, but that's just jmontag@timios.com. And, you know, we'd be happy to get any questions or comments. And, you know, we try to reply to everything we get within the day.
Good. Well, it's excellent. This has been a lot of fun and interesting to see how even something as simple and standard as title and escrow companies is joining the digital revolution and helping to make consumers and financing and real estate agents better, more open and transparent, and even more efficient and effective. So thanks a lot, Joe, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
So that's just another example of how businesses in California thrive.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.